This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday, April 4th. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. I'm Judge Richards in for Rob Hart. It is time now for the Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Amazon is taking another look at its highly touted no-cashier stores. We will cover that in our next segment. Right now, the sticker price at some colleges is now closing in on six figures per year. However, there are ways to cut that significantly. Let's talk to the expert now, Deb Donnelly, independent educational consultant. Website is DebDonnellyCollegeCounseling.com. Deb, thanks so much for your time today. So very few people actually pay the sticker price. Could you help us understand, for those that may have young kids and are getting closer to trying to understand it, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it means that families need to have a plan. According to Sallie Mae, families last year in 2023 reported spending an average of $28,026 on college in the fiscal year 2022-23. So, the point is that family finances are one way of funding college, but when you're looking at $100,000 a year, it's not feasible for the vast majority of families. Typical college sources or college funding sources are from scholarships and grants, student income and savings, and parent and student borrowing, as well as gifts from relatives and friends. But the vast majority, 65% of the families responding to the Sallie Mae survey last year, indicated that scholarships and grants funded a significant portion of their students' education.
Is that the best advice for trying to reduce the financial burden?
I think the best advice is, no matter what your income is, fill out the FAFSA when your student is getting ready to go to college, the free application for student aid available at studentaid.gov. The other good piece of advice is that as your student goes through the pipeline and receives award letters from multiple colleges, don't be afraid to go talk to your school counselor and compare the awards. Determine how much money is free money that's non-repayable, you don't have to pay it back, and how much is loan-oriented. Just as an example, you could Google no-loan colleges, and right now there are almost two dozen colleges that, for students and families with financial need, work to the best of their ability for these students to graduate from their college or university without any loans. That doesn't mean they're not paying for some of it, but it means that they're not walking away with loans. And some of the colleges that are going to be the most expensive, for example, Washington University and Brown and Yale, are examples of those no-loan colleges.
What's your advice for parents who want to put together a game plan for their kids' college education?
Talk money. Don't be afraid to talk money and set parameters. Even though you're a student and you should have your eyes on the prize in the sky, your feet need to be on the ground. So do your research. Even if you don't think you're eligible for aid, fill out the FAFSA for your specific college websites for places you adore. Look at their net price calculator, plug in your information, and determine how much they will rebate your student to go there.
Deb, no one thinks it's a good game plan for sending a kid to college to get an education to go make more money and then send him out in the real world with an enormous amount of debt. Are college prices coming down at all anywhere?
Well, actually, you'd be surprised. For your Indiana listeners, if you're an Indiana resident, Purdue University has held tuition and fees stable for Indiana residents for the past 10 years and promises to do so again for students entering college in 2025. There is the Illinois Promise Program for our neediest of Illinois residents, and that can cover up to the entire cost of attendance for students who have need. There is IPEDS data, for example. The University of Chicago, a couple of years ago, the tuition and fees were $86,000, almost $87,000. For a household income of over $110,000, the average cost the family paid was just over $41,000. Students with a family income of less than $30,000 went to the University of Chicago that year and paid just under $3,000. So, and don't discount schools that are expensive. Private colleges often have access to more private dollars to fund students in a way that public schools can't. And finally, look at your community colleges. Don't be afraid to start and do a year or two at your local community college before going to a residential school. And feel free to contact the financial aid office of your student's dream school and say, here's the package that we have. How can we make this work for my student?
Deb, thank you so much. That's Deb Donnelly, independent educational consultant. Her website, DebDonnellyCollegeCounseling.com. Coming up, why Amazon is checking out the effectiveness of its cashierless technology.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Amazon's ambitious cashierless technology has not lived up to expectations. Joining us with the details, Phil Lempert, founder, supermarketguru.com, based out of Los Angeles. Phil, thanks for your time today. So the Amazon cashierless technology, it appears to have fallen short, especially in their grocery store formats. Help us understand why.
Well, Justin, it's really quite simple. We like going grocery shopping. We like the human experience of it. And frankly, this is technology looking for a problem to solve. You know, yes, if you're really in a rush, being able to walk into a store, pick up one or two items and walk out, that's fine. But if you're actually buying 10, 15, 20 items going for your weekly shop, you want to connect with a cashier. You know, we've seen so much pushback on self-checkout over the past 6-12 months where customers are just walking out of the store. They don't want to deal with self-checkout. We want to have a human experience when we go into a supermarket. It's food. It's primal. It's something that's terrific for us. And frankly, you know, while this technology has worked well, you know, it's really turned off more customers than it's attracted.
Phil, many analysts predicted that this concept was going to rapidly change the way stores do business. Has it changed anything?
No, absolutely not. First of all, it's very expensive to execute. And again, you know, people are ignoring the humanistic side of grocery shopping, of buying food. And we want that to be a much more pleasurable experience. Look, during the pandemic, we wanted to get in and out of stores as quickly as possible. We didn't want to have human contact. That's over. Now, those stores that are really prospering and doing well are the ones where you can go in and have a great shopping experience. And frankly, what Amazon is now doing, replacing this technology with their Dash cart, which is basically a shopping cart that has cameras in it. So when you put something in the shopping cart, it automatically registers what that product is. You know, that's not the solution either, because when you get to the checkout stand or when you're walking, you know, to your car, you've still got to take the products out, put it in your car, you've got to put it in bags and so on. So I really fear that all these technologies are just looking for a problem that doesn't exist.
Do you expect Amazon to step out of this space?
No, absolutely not. I think that when you take a look at the Kroger-Albertsons deal, what we're going to see is we're probably going to see 700 to 800 stores throughout the country, you know, up for grabs. CNS has committed to over 400 of them. But I think that Amazon is going to use this experience to be able to buy 100, 200 stores and really fast track, you know, what they're doing throughout the country. Amazon wants to be in the supermarket business. Obviously, they own Whole Foods. They want to build Amazon Fresh. But you know, they haven't had a lot of great locations. So what Kroger-Albertsons deal does is it gives them prime locations to be able to get in there, redo the stores, and really fast-track their whole supermarket initiative.
Phil, thanks so much for your insight. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com. Coming up next, Monday solar eclipse has spawned a flood of products designed to cash in on the event.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the solar eclipse will take place Monday, and that means companies are doing their best to cash in on the excitement. We welcome Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based out of New York. Still ahead, coming up, questions. If a business finds an opportunity to get in on the action, Jan, it's a no-brainer. Help us understand why this one's working out so well.
Well, just think about it. If you can take something as boring as President's Day and turn it into a marketing opportunity, how great is something like a solar eclipse that only comes once in a lifetime, maybe? And if your name happens to have a sun in it, like sun chips, or moon in it, like moon pie, and you miss this opportunity, you'd have to feel pretty stupid. So I think it's really exciting.
Is there anyone that seems to be outshining the others? Anyone most creative?
Well, I won't say there's somebody the most creative, but I think, you know, if you're somebody like Krispy Kreme and you don't have it in your name and you're making something that's at least shaped like the sun and you're marketing that for the eclipse, that's pretty creative. But anything that's a consumable is a great opportunity, right? Because you make it, the consumer consumes it right before or right after the eclipse, and then you quit making it. And you've got this huge opportunity. If you're selling something that's got longer duration, it's kind of hard to tie it to the solar eclipse and then expect people to keep wanting it or using it. So I just think it's great for anything like that. If you're selling drinks, if you're selling chips, if you're selling donuts, all those kind of things really work. Or if you happen to be in Erie, Pennsylvania, and you're expecting 250,000 people to show up for a 4-minute event that's just the solar eclipse, you better have something to sell them, even if it doesn't say solar or sun or moon on it, because you've just got this enormous opportunity to sell to people you've never seen before. So both of those two things, those things are happening. But I think the whole game is, this is something that everybody reads about. They hear about it on the radio. It's on television. So they're focused on it. So if you've got some way to legitimately tie yourself to it, you've got a huge marketing opportunity. Even like, you know, Pizza Hut, you do something that is shaped like the sun and you call it a solar eclipse pizza and you make a special deal on it, you're going to have great reception by the consumer.
Fast food and snack brands often tap into the buzz of these types of events in a big way. Is it as simple as because it's just easy as far as we know it's on our calendar, or is it much bigger than that from a marketing standpoint?
Well, you have to think about it in advance, right, to capitalize on it, because you're going to have to get that product to the right place at the right time. The thing only lasts 4 minutes. The excitement lasts for a few weeks before and maybe a week after if you're lucky. So, yes, you want to jump in at just the right time, but you probably have a lot of planning to do if you're making a special product to sell. If you're just using it for advertising, it's a lot easier. But you get a lot more bang for your buck if you can tie a product directly to it and have so much excitement. Because you may not get to sell that much of that product, but you get people associated with your brand and remembering you and thinking about it. And that really resonates for any kind of a marketer. If I can get you to come try my product and you haven't been there in months or in a year, but now suddenly they've got a reason, they tied to the solar eclipse, and you go, wow, that's pretty great. I can't believe I haven't been eating those chips or drinking that for the last year, but now I'm going to try it again. And so it's a good way to reintroduce yourself to the customer.
Yeah, it seems like at first glance it would be more of a short-term play, but ultimately these are all long-term plays.
You're really just trying to build your relationship with the customer. And this gives you a way to do it that's fun and exciting, so you have a good association. You know, it's, wow, it's the eclipse, and you're doing something associated with the eclipse, so you get all that positive vibe that you didn't even do anything to earn. It's just the sun's in the sky. It's going to go dark, and you've got a product that can capitalize on that. That makes a big impression on your consumer. So it's a positive reinforcement, and it's a chance to reach out to them at a point in time that otherwise you would have missed that opportunity.
Well, Jan, it's working because I'm hankering for some sun chips currently. So that's Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide, based out of New York. Still ahead, Technology Thursday, how to identify so-called deep fakes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Two people are dead in separate incidents at Chicago water treatment facilities. A Chicago area woman shares her experience during yesterday's earthquake in Taiwan. In Technology Thursday, ways to detect deep fake videos and photos, including ones that could infiltrate this year's election campaign. Also, people planning to buy a home need to put together a plan well before they begin shopping. WBBM Business, the Dow up 158, S&P up 38, NASDAQ up 170. Aqua, the forecast says those breezes out there, the cold ones, are going to continue. It's going to be chilly with showers of snow and rain into the evening. Looking at a high of 42 degrees today, still seeing it about 38 degrees with some light rain falling at 12:31. Well, two people are dead after separate incidents today at water treatment facilities in Chicago. Around 5:30 a.m. this morning, a man was found dead outside the Eugene Sawyer Water Purification Plant near Rainbow Beach. Police say the man was suffering from trauma to the head. A homicide investigation is underway. No arrests have been made. A few hours later, police say a 63-year-old contractor died at a pumping station on the west side after apparently getting electrocuted. This happened around 9 a.m. at the water facility in North Lawndale along Fillmore Street. A woman from Deerfield is among the Americans in Taiwan who experienced a deadly earthquake yesterday. Charlotte Thompson tells CBS 2 News she was in a hotel when it began.
Other people started coming into the hallway and I was yelling, "Stay in the doorway," as the building was shaking because we're up on the 13th floor. So very high up and was rocking profusely.
A group of students from Chicago's St. Ignatius College Prep are in Taiwan. They're said to be safe in the aftermath of the quake. It is 12:32.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, stocks are moving higher. Let's see what's elevating the markets with J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade right here in Chicago. J.J., thanks so much for your time today. So the stocks are higher. Help us understand what's driving it.
Well, you know, again, you've talked a lot, and we've talked a lot on this program over the last few months about the Fed. And this is really about, you know, Fed expectations. And you had Chairman Powell out speaking yesterday that, you know, he still sees a path for some rate cuts. And then you had our own Chicago's Fed President Goolsbee out today saying that, you know, the hot inflation numbers we've seen recently won't knock us off path to get back to this 2% target. And so with that, that gives everybody hope that we see some rate cuts. Money sort of frees up, if you will, in the economy. And that's usually a really, really good thing for stocks as what people, you know, have more confidence in investing.
JJ, the Fed policy, it's a main focus for a lot of investors. What's your current read on the Fed?
Well, you know, we have, if we look at June, we have about a 63-64% probability that we'll have a rate cut. We will see, though, because we've seen these in the past. And then when we get closer and closer, some inflation readings sort of throw that off base. There seems to be some momentum behind it this time. And so, you know, tomorrow's employment report, this makes it really interesting. Do these numbers stay hot? There's two things, is you know, your listeners look at it. Number one, what are the revisions to the last report? What we've seen throughout the last year is that a number comes out high, but then they revise it lower. And number two, and in my opinion, more importantly, where are the jobs created? Are these more restaurant type jobs? Which, again, you know, many of us have worked in restaurants, and nothing wrong with that, but those aren't always careers. Or are they more construction, transportation, things that tend to be longer careers, little better paying jobs? If you have more of the latter, that is usually an inflationary pressure side. If you have more of the former, that's not necessarily a bad thing for inflation.
What are the biggest threats to stocks right now?
Well, I think, again, anything that is in terms of the Fed not cutting rates, I think would cause a little bit of a sell-off. But, you know, really, the most amazing thing to me about the market right now is that we truly live in the rally that nobody loves. And what I mean by that is we continue to go higher, set records, but there isn't the same buzz as you and I have seen at other points in our lifetime when we're setting new highs and that's all anyone wants to talk about, et cetera. There's a real nervous sense around stocks at the moment. And even though it's not necessarily being reflected in, you know, things like the VIX, the volatility index, which is at the lower end of its range right now, there's, I think, still a very uncertain prevailing attitude among the investing public about being too into the market right now. And I don't think people are fully invested at all.
JJ, as we always like to ask you, what's your what advice you have for the individual investor today?
Yeah, certainly. And I think the biggest advice I give to anybody is, you know, the hardest thing to do for most people is they're getting started is to pull the trigger, if you will, to get involved. And I would say one thing about that, you know, don't go all one of the things that new investors particularly have a bad tendency to do. And by the way, any mistake I say I've made 1,000 times myself is, you know, start small. And what ends up happening if you do is if you have a certain amount of money, maybe you start with 10 or 20%. That way, if we do sell off a bit, this becomes a new opportunity for you to buy something at a better price rather than be like, oh, my God, what do I do next? And I think that that's the biggest thing that really helps new investors make smart decisions.
JJ, thanks so much for your expertise. That's JJ Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, learning how to identify deep fake photos and videos.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, it's Technology Thursday, and deepfake videos and photos are appearing more frequently, with many tied to political ads. Let's discuss ways that how to tell the real from the phony. We're joined now by Matt Wren, founder and chief technology officer, VRAR Chicago. Matt, good to talk with you. Thanks for your time. So the deepfakes, well, they're getting better and better. No surprise there. How can you tell if something is real or not?
Well, thanks for having me back on. The first thing to do, honestly, is slow down. I mean, that's the thing. We look at these videos and we look at the stuff on social media. It's very fast-paced. You look really quickly and you tend to believe what you see. So the first thing when you're trying to spot a deep fake is just slow down, take a deeper look at what you're actually watching. Notice if the background is faded. Notice if the fingers don't necessarily line up. Notice if the chin and the neck don't move together. We naturally actually naturally get this sort of feeling of this might be fake. So if you get that feeling, take a deeper look at what you're looking at. That's the first step. And then beyond that, there's also, you know, all sorts of online tools that you can use to check.
What are those online tools?
Sure. Even without going to a website, there's a couple different websites. There's cybersecurity companies like Sentinel. There's a website that just launched called True Media. Those are places that you can go to kind of check if something is a deepfake. But even before you get to the point of, you know, taking that step and going to actively search if something is fake, realize that if you're seeing one video and it's the same video and it's not, you know, several videos from different angles, that's one way to kind of tell that, okay, maybe this is fake. You know, because almost anything that a politician says right now, especially if it's something that it's, something that's going to be a little bit incendiary, it's going to have been filmed from several different angles. There's going to be a lot of different videos, a lot of different photos of it. So if you're only constantly seeing the one same angle, the one same shot, there's a good chance that one might be a fake.
How quickly is the volume of these bogus images increasing, and how much is it related to politics and what's going to happen in November?
I wouldn't say that the reason it's increasing is due to politics. I will say that politics is definitely one of the really popular uses of the technology. So is it increasing? Yes, it's increasing. It's accelerating very, very quickly. The issue there is that the tools to create this are much more readily available. They're frankly getting a lot better at faking things, and they're just easier to find on the internet. Almost, you know, anyone nowadays, I think it's the guy who launched True Media doing a demonstration. He went online and in a matter of seconds created a couple fake photos of himself, like in a hospital bed or in prison. And, you know, so anybody, even with limited skill, can go and create fakes very, very quickly. That's why it's increasing really rapidly. And, you know, where it's going to be used is places that will have some influence. So political elections, obviously, that's a huge issue. I know there was a famous phone call from Biden that went out to a bunch of voters that was just voice. It wasn't even video, but it was fake. And then I think there was another one that was used in Ukraine. It's becoming very easy to generate it, which is why you're seeing a lot of an increase, and it's just going to keep going like that.
Any added confusion because of what Twitter/X did with the verification and the blue check mark?
I don't necessarily. I mean, the issue with that is I think Twitter, you know, any of the verification systems, if verified just means that you are who you say you are. So I don't really think that helps too much. I will say that a number of the technology companies, I know Facebook, Amazon, Google, I think a lot of, I'd have to look to see who they actually were. Like 20 of the major technology companies came out and said that they're going to increase their tools to try to essentially spot any sort of fakes that are on their platform and label it as such. So it just, you know, automatically find anything that was AI generated and label it as AI generated, which should hopefully help. But obviously, as the technology gets better, that way, you know, some of the stuff is going to slip through those cracks.
Matt, I think that's great advice. Just slow down when you see something that may not feel like it's real. Take a real good look at it. And
I've been told. Also, take a look at the hair, because the AI does struggle with making hair look real. That's Matt Wren, founder and chief technology officer of VRAR Chicago. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, putting together a strategy to buy a home in the coming years.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, if you're planning on buying a home in the next year or two, there's a lot of preparation that you can do right now. Let's get some ideas for action from Rick Sharga, founder, CEO of CJ Patrick Company out of Orange County, California. Rick, thanks for your time today. So how far in advance should you start putting together a plan to purchase that first home or even that next home?
Well, Judson, it's never too early to start planning to buy a home, because for most families or most individuals, it's the biggest financial commitment they're going to make in their lives. There's very little inventory available for sale today, and mortgage rates are still pretty high. So a lot of people are looking a year or two out in advance, and that gives them enough time to adequately plan and get their finances in order.
Should we expect those interest rates to continue to fall, or is it still somewhat of a great unknown?
If I had the exact answer to that, Judson, I'd be retired on my private island in the Caribbean. No, the reality is that we'll probably see mortgage rates stay right around where they are until the Federal Reserve does its first Fed funds rate cut, and that probably won't happen until June at the earliest. After that, we should expect to see mortgage rates slowly and gradually decline, not back down to the 3% and 4% mortgage rates that we saw a few years ago, but probably by next year down into the fives, which should make housing feel a lot more affordable for a lot of people.
Well, people that are saving or ready to start saving for a home, I'm sure there's better advice than just, you know, hiding it under your mattress every few weeks when you get paid. Where would you say to begin for people?
Well, set a budget. Take a look at your household finances and figure out what you can actually afford to pay for housing. The rule of thumb is somewhere between 25% and 30% of your take-home pay should be earmarked for housing. And if you do the math from there, you can kind of figure out what price a property you can afford and start saving accordingly. One thing to point out to your listeners is the old notion that you need 20% down payment on a property you're going to buy really isn't true anymore. The average down payment across the country is closer to 10%, and you can actually get properties with a much lower down payment, 3% to 5%, through loans that are guaranteed by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the FHA. And there are down payment assistance programs that you should look at locally that might actually help you scrape up more money for a down payment. So, you know, lots of homework required. And again, never too early to start doing that homework.
What are the current projections for the real estate market over the next year or so, Rick?
We're in a period right now, Judson, where we can anticipate relatively weak growth in the number of homes that are being sold, and very slow home price appreciation. But it's very likely home prices will continue to go up a little bit rather than down in most markets, simply because there's very little inventory available to be purchased. And demographically speaking, we have the largest number of young adults between the ages of 29 and 34 in history, and most of them would like to buy a house. So we'll probably see the number of homes sold go up a little bit year over year, and prices go up a little bit, but we're not looking at either a housing boom or a housing market crash.
Rick, thanks for your expertise today. Rick Sharga, founder, CEO, CJ Patrick Company, based out of Orange County. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.